I am no man. Well, I am. I am, technically. Good morning. My name's Mike Scan. Welcome to Epic Life. Really? All right. The 10 of you. Thank you very much. I'll pay you after the service is over with. My goodness, man. Well, if you're new here this morning, you have joined us at probably the greatest time because we've just kind of kicked off a series last week called The Love Story. And I said this last week. I'll say it again this week. Guys, don't check out on me. I promise, man. If you were here last week, man, I got to eat lunch with a couple of the men that were here last week, and they're just like, man, I just want to go out and kill something right now. It's just like, you know, it was a great message. How many of y'all were here last week? Great. Awesome. Was that not good? Well, guess what? Today we're going to do a little bit of the same thing, and we're going to talk about this love story. But here's the premise of what I'm talking about, what we're going to be talking about this morning, is that before you can really understand the love story, we're going to turn those back lights on so y'all can see me and I can see your pretty faces and take notes. Before we really get into this idea of a love story, we have to know the role that each one of us plays in that. And now that's whether you're married, whether you're engaged, whether you're dating, whether you're thinking about dating, whether you're thinking about maybe dating sometime down the road. We got to know what our role is. The reason why that divorce is so high in the church as well as in the world is that I think our roles have gotten jacked up. I really do. I think we kind of look at marriage and relationship and all that thing kind of based on the sitcom. Last week we talked a little bit about Al Bundy. How many of y'all remember Al Bundy? Huh? Remember that? Married with Children? Love and marriage, love. Okay, yeah, right? Yeah. Society in general has based marriage and relationship, unfortunately, on the media and on Hollywood and on everything that's going on out there. They make men look like a joke. They do. They make men look like the fabbling fool, man, babbling fool who doesn't know one way to the other. And I don't believe that's the way God created it. Last week we talked about men, and we talked about that God had created men with this ultimate desire inside their spirit that yells out, Kasak. Remember that? Stand. Be a man. Be strong. Be courageous is what the Word of God says. And the desire of every man is this warrior mentality, just wanting to get out, wanting to be what God had created them to be. And it's true. We want you to experience that. And so before we really talk about the love story, we want to set up the rules, or the roles, and the rules, I guess you could say that. So last week we talked about men. And we said, men, show yourself to be a man. God has placed in every man the heart of a warrior. At the core of biblical masculinity is a man's desire to become and be known as a mighty warrior in the kingdom of God. The deepest need of a man and the fulfillment of God's purpose for a man's life is to fight powerfully for a righteous cause. Not just fight, but fight for a cause, man, that means something, that has significance. I said it last week. I said the reason why the world is allowed to do and the world acts the way it does is because the church has really taken a backseat drive. We've cut it out. If this world is going to change, if the society is going to change, if the politicians, if the White House is going to change, what did I say last week? It's going to start right here. It's going to start inside the church. That men become men and stand and be what God called them to be. At Epic Life, the men are men and the women aren't. Putting that out there. You guys can write that down. All right. But here's the other catch to that. Here's the other side to that. Is that God is placed in the heart of every woman. At the center of the biblical femininity is a woman's desire to be and to be known as a daughter of the King. The deepest need of a woman and the fulfillment of God's purpose for a woman is to live out of her value as a daughter of her King and be known as a beautiful princess. It's not no longer, that's why we played that video. It's not about women fulfilling the role of a man or a man trying to fulfill the role of a woman. It's what is your perspective role? How God has created you. At Epic Life, our vision is to help you live the life that God has created you to live. You can't create the life you don't know about if you're not following the proper role, if you're not in the right role. As the men have Kasak, which is, for some of you guys who weren't here last week, Kasak was the war cry of the mighty Hebrew warriors before they'd go into battle. And it was basically stand fast, be courageous, be fearless as they get ready to go into battle. It was actually Rak Kasak was the war cry of the Hebrew warriors. But we don't leave the chicks out either. Yes, I said chicks from the platform. I did. Okay. The ladies have kahil. Kahil. This is an interesting word. Matter of fact, it's a cool word as I got to looking at it. And it's amazing how I'll do the message and I'm like, okay, I want to use this word and how this word fits so perfectly with the message we're going to talk about this morning. Kahil is over, it's a crazy complex word. It has over 256 biblical references. 256. Now, I'm a word guy. Any one of you have known me for any length of time and have heard me preach, I love words. I'm a word guy. And so to have one word to have a meaning of over 256 references within the pages of Scripture, to me, that's just like, man, that's a word. And this is the word for the woman, kahil, kahil. It's their war cry. It's the praise of a good wife. It's the word that we find in the book of Proverbs, the definition of Proverbs, and even in the book of Ruth. By definition, it's the perfect wife or ideal wife in Hebrew. Now, I know what some of the ladies are thinking. Are you out of your mind? You going to preach about the perfect wife? No. I'm going to teach you what the Bible teaches about your role. There is no perfect woman. There's no perfect man. You know why? We got this earth suit called a flesh on us. But man, Jesus made a way, right? Jesus made a way. Look here in Proverbs 31:10 to kind of give you an idea. Watch this. Proverbs 31:10 says, a capable, intelligent, and here's the word. Here's one meaning for that word, kahil. Virtuous woman. Who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies and pearls. Listen to me, young men, for a moment. He's not putting an idea out there to say, you know, is it impossible to find this woman? Really, what I think when I see that passage of Scripture, it says, who will take the time to search out a woman like this? A virtuous woman. That's one of the words for kahil. Look at Proverbs 31:29, another one. Many daughters have done virtuously, nobly, and well. All three of those words mean kahil. All three of them. And it goes on to say, this is the Amplified Version, with the strength of character. That word strength also coming from the same word. It means wealth. It means army. It means virtue. It means character. It means valor. I didn't have time to write all the words that one word means for you ladies. Powerful. With strength of character that is steadfast in goodness. But look at this. But you excel in them all. It is possible to excel in them all when we understand the role of a woman that God has in this epic story, this love story that we're talking about. When you understand God's purpose for you, ladies, I promise you there's not a man in this world that can stop you. The problem is you don't understand it. And that's why we have women that are walking around completely defeated, insecure, unknowing the vision and purpose that God has for their life. Now, we might know our purpose maybe in this world, but what's the eternal value of the purpose that God has for you? What's the reason why God created you? You're not created by accident. You've heard me say this before, or if you haven't, you will now. God created you with divine purpose. Not just to come in and do a job or take care of the babies and do laundry, take care of your husband. You have divine, supernatural purpose. And I hope that today you'll understand that. And you'll find that. See, in a message like this, all I have to say to guys is to fight, kill, and eat. Bam, done. We're good. That's what I'm saying right there. They get fired up. But with women, it's different. Man. See, men are just not very complex. We tend to thrive in pretty simple, we're pretty simple people, most of us. Now, I know there's that one or two out there. But there's much more complexity when it comes to a woman. So with that being said, what I have done is, because I cannot explain a woman, unfortunately. And I know some of y'all are already down there. Some of y'all ladies, y'all are thinking, what the heck do you know about a woman? You're right. So what I've done is I brought in a guest speaker. Yes. I'm not stupid. Okay. And when she says she can preach it, then I'm going to like, yes, ma'am. Okay. So my wife has got a really cool message that she's going to talk on for about the next 10 minutes. And then I'm going to come in and wrap it up with a couple of final thoughts. My wife, if you do not know, come on up here, beautiful. And she's already turning red in the cheeks. And she's already there. She is a worshipful woman. She loves to worship. And she is an introvert by nature. So some of you guys that are new at our church, I'm letting you know, my wife is an introvert. So being up here on the stage is like her everything is like going off right now, okay? And so will you guys join me in praying for her as she kind of takes lead for a little while, and then I'll come back and we'll wrap this thing up, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your voice. Your voice that, Lord God, that resounds over all voices. So, Lord, we ask that that voice will be the voice that my wife, Robin, hears this morning. And I pray every heart in this place, man, woman, and child, would be able to hear in her voice, out of her heart, Lord God, what you have spoken to her to speak. And, Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for your message. We thank you, Lord God, for making and redeeming women. Thank you so much for them, Lord God. What a gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my love. I don't have to mess with that. I'm out.
Well, good morning. I heard this message when I went through a heart quest. And when I heard it, I said, my women have got to hear that message. We've got to know who we are, what our role is. And so we're going to start with Eve in Genesis. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So we're going to go back to 21 because that one's very important. Where it says that he took the rib from Adam. A rib's job is to surround our internal organs and to protect them. It provides for uprightness. If your ribs are, you know, not there, you can't really be upright and move around. And allows for action. The bone signifies strength. The flesh is emotion and heart. And then Adam set her in place. Adam called all the animals by their names, and he set them in place. He anointed them. He said, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She's my helper. In Genesis 2:18, right there, it says that God created her his helper. Eve's job is to be a helper. She shields. She brings unity. She strengthens. She builds up. She's the guardian of what comes into and out of the house. She has insight. She's almost like a sniper looking out the window. She allows nothing in. That's where you get the mama bear. There's two places in the Bible that it talks about helpers. One is the woman in Genesis 2:18, and the other is the Holy Spirit. I like being categorized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's in John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. We're not the laundry lady. We're not just for his pleasure, for sex. We have so much more that God has put into us. I don't mind taking care of the home, but that's not all God created me for, was to be a maid and take care of my home. Amen. So let's look at some women in the Bible. You know, there's not that many of them named. So we're going to look at a couple of them that show forth this, I am no man. We're going to start in Judges 4:4-9. We're going to talk about Deborah. She was the judge at the time. She was a prophet. She was married. She was the wife of Lapidoth. She would hold court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And in that time, Israel was in captivity again. They had called out to God to deliver them. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly, I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. So you see right there, Deborah was a judge. In my mind, always the judges were men. But right here, the Bible records a judge as a woman. So the story continues on, and they go out to battle, and they do rout the enemy, but Sisera runs. So let's go to Judges 4, 18 through 21. Sisera ran. Well, Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone in there, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he slept fast, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. So she killed the commander of the army. I believe that she was able to do that because he wasn't scared of her because she was a woman. But because she was a woman, she's the one that finished defeating the army. The next one, they don't give her a name. She's just the woman on the wall. In 2 Samuel 20, 15 through 22, all the troops with Joab came and besieged Sheba in Abel Beth Maacah. They built a siege ramp up to the city, and it stood against the outer fortifications. While they were battering the wall to bring it down, a wise woman called from the city, "Listen, listen, tell Joab to come here so I can speak to him." He went toward her, and she asked, "Are you Joab?" "I am," he answered. She said, "Listen to what your servant has to say." "I'm listening," he said. She continued, "Long ago they used to say, 'Get your answer at Abel,' and that settled it. We are the peaceful and faithful in Israel. You're trying to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why do you want to swallow up the Lord's inheritance?" "Far be it from me," Joab replied. "Far be it from me to swallow up or destroy. That is not the case. A man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, has lifted up his hand against the king, against David. Hand over this one man, and I'll withdraw from the city." The woman said to Joab, "His head will be thrown to you from the wall." Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he sounded the trumpet, and his men dispersed from the city, each returning to his home, and Joab went back to the king in Jerusalem. So she saved the whole city by throwing one man's head over the wall. She had wisdom to save the city. The next one is Abigail. I really like Abigail. I don't know why, just one of the stories that I really like. Nabal was her husband, and his name means fool. And King David sent men to him. And we'll start with after King David's men went back, one of the servants came and talked to Abigail. It's 1 Samuel 25, 14 through 23. "One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, 'David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time that we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us. The whole time we were herding and our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, lots of food. But she didn't tell Nabal. So as she rode the donkey She went under the cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she went. David said, "Surely in vain I have protected all this fellow was in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing of all that belonged to him, and as he repaid evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David." He had made himself an enemy of David. That's not a good thing. "If I leave one male or female of him belonging to him by the morning light." Now when Abigail saw David, she hastened to dismount from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. She went out, and because she took action, she saved her whole household. Not one of them was killed. This is our role, to protect our home, to protect our husbands, our family. The last one of these women is Zipporah, Moses' wife. Wasn't an Israelite. She was of another tribe. Exodus 4:24-26. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses, and it was about to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. "Surely you are bridegroom of blood to me," she said. So the Lord let him alone. Moses hadn't circumcised his sons, as was the law of the Israelites. And Zipporah saved him by doing that. The next thing we're going to talk about is a culture of worship. A woman's influence in worship is powerful. The Bible says in Exodus 34:16, "And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods. They will lead your sons to do the same." We can lead our family, our home, to God or away from God. We have that big of an influence in our home. The next one's Deuteronomy 7:3. "Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons to take their daughters for your sons." Another one, they had worship, idol worship, and you're obviously supposed to serve one God. You can't do that if your wife is serving another God. In 1 Kings 11:1-4, we'll talk about King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. However, he loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Gives lots of names there. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry." And at the end here in 4, it says, "As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been." I know I read a lot of scripture, but what I want you to see is that women's role is not just in the home to take care of it or, you know, whatever the world tells us it is. We are daughters of the King. We have major influence in our homes over our children and our husbands. And we can either help lead our family to follow God, or we can cause our family, our husbands, to draw away from God. So before I turn it back over to Pastor Mike, I want to pose a question to you to think about. Do you accept or reject the role that God has given you as a woman, a daughter of the King? You choose.
All right, so let's see here what I got out of this. Somebody got a stake drove through their head, and somebody lost their head. I'm just saying, don't jack with God's woman is what I'm thinking here, man. All right, so let me say this. Women are very complex, okay? So we think, men, that women is just this soft belly kind of, you know, hey, I love what Robin said in the fact that, you know, I'm a guy, okay? And unfortunately, because we're guys think about, this has got a little bit PG-13, but guys think about sex probably more than any other topic in their life. But Robin made a valid point. They're not here for that. Ladies, you are created in God's image. You're the daughter of a king. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 2, we see that creation being done, don't we? Let's take a look at that. Genesis. Is it Genesis? There it is. All right. So then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures, and move along the ground. Now, let me stop there for just a second, because if you weren't here last week, I hit on a point that everywhere in that creation element, we see our image, our. But then we see God creating man first. And we think that's the end of it. We separate the two, don't we? I mean, we do. We separate those two. But just as Robin pointed out, I love what she said, that there's only two instances in the Bible where the word helper is used, and it's with woman and it's with the Holy Spirit. Two powerful forces in a man's life. Why is that relevant? Because when God is creating woman, or God is creating man in the image, that word man is not necessarily male. We have to understand that. Ladies, you need to understand that. That just because we see that, and then we see God created, because the very next verse says, so God created man in his own image. All right, if you hunt down the word, remember I told you earlier, I'm a word guy. Go do a study on that word man. It's powerful. See, we see that, and we go, yeah, God created man. Woohoo! But ladies, that's what you think too. Because your identity is in there. Instead of understanding that your identity is in that creation as well. You were created by God with divine purpose. We got to talking this morning in our leadership meeting, and you know, did God know that Adam and Eve would sin? Well, of course, God has foreknowledge. God knew. But here's something else. God knew woman would need to be created. I don't think it was an accident. I don't think it was an accident that Adam's walking around the wilderness, you know, trying to name all these animals, but never found a helpmate for himself. Notice it didn't say anything but a helpmate. Our wives, our ladies, young ladies, listen to me today. Never follow a man who will not walk beside you, but walks in front of you. Don't follow a guy like that. See, God created his princess, his daughters, to walk beside us as helpers. I tell this in marriage counseling a lot. When I do marriage counseling, one of the first things that I talk to the women in their role, I said, you can make or break a man. And we just discovered that, didn't we, with Robin talked about. A woman can make or break a man. You can always, you know, there's an old adage that says you can always tell a successful man, because right behind him or beside him, in this case, is a successful woman. And success isn't measured, defined by the amount of monetary gain that you have. It's about what you're able to submit and surrender yourself to, and not necessarily to the man. So young men and young ladies, I want you to hear this, man. God created each of you with the role. And whether you're dating or fixing to date or going towards that role in your life, you need to understand that just as valuable as God has created in the heart of a man to be a warrior, God has created in the heart of a woman to love and have relationship. It's powerful. You're created in God's image. There is balance in us. It's not off balance. It's not the man is greater than the woman. Now, throughout all history, we have seen that take place, and it's not so. And when I tell these women in counseling, these young ladies that are fixing to get married, I said, you can make or break a man because of the peace that you allow inside your home. The Shekinah glory of God will rest upon a woman inside a home. And when a man comes home, let me tell you something, because the way we're wired, we can walk into a home and we can sense whether or not peace is left or peace is there. Because ladies, you're the daughter of a king. And you bring that into the home. And we all know the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And that's the gospel truth. Why? Because God has created woman with this amazing anointing to be brought into the home. So I hear ladies talk about their marriages. And I hear that there's problems in their marriage, and we're always pointing to the guy. And yeah, there's a lot of time, guys, we jack things up, man. We guys. It's what we do. But ladies, I would contend this. Are you living virtuous life? Do you recognize yourself as the daughter of a king? Because see, when we're the daughter, or when you recognize that you're a daughter of a king, you act like your daddy. Come on, don't preach me down when I'm preaching good, man. Don't shout me down. Come on now. We should act like our daddy. And whether that be a king or a princess, we should be acting like our daddy. Not no stepdaddy around here, right? Come on. Women are very complex. They bear the image of God. Genesis 2, 4 through 8. Look at this. We already looked at it, but I want you to see it. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth of the heavens. No shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and the plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth. Matter of fact, there was no such thing as rain at that time. There was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east, in the Eden, and there he put the man and formed it. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work and take care of it. The very first thing that God does is give man a function. Amazing, isn't it? We all got to be doing something. A purpose, a task to focus energy on. Men were created to find their value in their role and through their performance. The most satisfied man in the world is the man who feels respected and valued for his performance in his role. It's powerful. It's powerful. We like the attaboys, don't we, guys? We like the pat on the back. We're like, good job. The very first thing that God gives the woman was a relationship. Ladies, you are specifically created for relationship. That's our first point in your worship guide. Take a look at that. A woman lives passionately when she has a love to live for. Now, I need to hold that for a second because I want to make something really clear. This doesn't mean a love for you guys. I know you think it does. I know you think you just, you know, Don Juan, and you come home with the flowers and the roses and you all that. Yeah, you've been working out in the field, and you smell like a hog, and you think your wife's all passionately in love with you. All right? All right? I believe she's a woman of faith. She's just believing that some things to be not as though they were one day. Praise God. You know, he's going to shower. He's going to, you know, take care of himself. Passionate when she has a love to live for. Ladies, when you understand the love of the king and God's desire inside you for that reciprocated love back to him, you will live a passionate life. Because no matter what the dude does, come home late, don't call, works late, calls his boys up, hangs out on the weekend, forgets to call you, forgets to come over, forgets to whatever, forgets to take out the trash, right? Change the baby's diaper, whatever. When you are passionately loved by the king, doesn't matter. That's where we get jacked up. Because see, we think my value or your value in this instance, and I'm saying my because I personalize everything, your value as ladies comes from your relationship with your husband, and that is so false. Let me tell you something I tell people. There are things that your husband needs that you can't give him that can only come from a relationship with the king. And there are things that you need, ladies, that your husband cannot, is impossible to give you. One of them is this, a passionate love. You cannot get that from your man, no matter how suave he might be. I mean, he might be the next thing to slice butter, but let me tell you something. Butter melts. Putting that out there. Let it lay down. All right? When you understand the value that the king places upon his daughter, and your daughters, you understand and receive that value, your passion is ignited. See, your value isn't how you raise your children. Snotty little, I'm sorry, going on, moving on, praise God. Changing the diapers. And your value is defined by your king. Matthew 6, 25 through 30 says this. Is that my last? No, don't go there. I'm sorry. I'm ahead of myself. You will never feel valued and beautiful until your life flows out of a relationship with your heavenly father and you understand that you are a perfect princess, the daughter of a king. Romans chapter 8, 14 through 17. Take a look at this real quick. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice there's not a bit of work in that on you. It says that you're led by the Spirit of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, of whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I know I wore this thing out the last time we talked about this passage of Scripture, man. That is a very powerful phrase, which means daddy, father. It's an intimate word. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. What he's saying is, look, if we're the sons of God, it bears witness inside us. But you know what voice is crying out? Guys, listen to me for a second. This isn't a beat up on you, but I want you to be aware of something. You know what voice seems to cry out in our ladies? I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't cook like she does or he does or whatever. I'm not smart like he or she is. We compare ourselves to everything but our Creator, who says to you, you're a child, you're his princess, you're his daughter. That's for you. We compare ourselves with everybody else. But we are the sons and the daughters of a king, created in his image. First John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. See, here comes the relationship issue. If you struggle, listen to me now. Listen real close. If you've never felt that Father's love, then I'd have to ask you a question, and it's very personal. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says, man, when we receive Jesus into our life, the love of the Father is bestowed upon us, and it bears witness to us. Some of you struggle in hearing that voice because you don't have that relationship with the King who created you. Daddy's calling you home. He's calling you saying, come, come unto me, all you who labor, all you who are heavy burdened, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Women tend to believe that God only loves them and values them when they're worthy of his love. Ladies, this is where your complexity gets really kind of crazy, because you set your own self, you impose unachievable standards of worthiness, and then demean yourself because you don't measure up to those standards. Guys, this is a real issue that your ladies are struggling with. This is a real issue that people are struggling with. Young men, listen to me. This is a real issue that teenagers struggle with. You have no business being into a relationship where a young lady, a teenager especially, is at this point. She doesn't understand her identity and who God created her to be. That is a dangerous relationship to be in. Now, if you're married, we have to deal with this. Stop believing that you can only be a princess through your performance, and don't you dare by the lie that you are worthless. It's our second point in our worship notes. Look here. You can't become a princess through performance. You can't become a princess through performance. You are a princess by relationship, by who you know. It's not because you married into the church. It's not because, man, your kids go to Sunday school every Sunday. That doesn't bring you into relationship. It's not because you're a good little housewife, marry the housewife who makes sure the dinner's done by 6 o'clock and brings the boots up to her husband, man, or the slippers or whatever. That doesn't make you in that. You can't become a princess by performance. It's by relationship. Here's the struggle of the church. Here's the struggle of marriage. Here's the struggle of every one of us in this building. We struggle with an identity crisis. I do at times. Many of you do at times. We struggle with the identity to say, I am me, and this is just how I am. And God says, no, this is who you are. Yeah, but I always make this mistake. I always sin. I always slip up. Doesn't matter. This is who you are. It's not based upon your performance. It's based upon my performance. Speaking of God. The identity crisis has to cease. You can't become a princess through performance. You're a princess by relationship. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 30. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Highlight this in your Bible or on your iPad or your smartphone. Are you not of more value than they? Ladies, you need to write that on the mirror of your bathrooms to remind yourself of your value. God knows every hair on your head. He desires relationship with you. Not just on Sunday morning in worship or whatever. He wants it every moment of your life. He values the intimate moments. He values where you're going that day and your grocery shopping. And he values your being on your job, whether it's professional or whether it's in the home. He values relationship there with you. And he wants to be in tune to that. Don't we tend to separate God sometimes, don't we? All right, Sunday is God time. Then as soon as we get home, let's say I got dinner, I got planning, I got to get ready for the week, I've got this, kids got ball games, this has got to happen, this has got to happen, this has got to happen, this has got to happen. And Daddy's standing up there and go, hey, wait a minute. Can't I be a part of that? Can't I be intimate with you in that? Won't you worship me in that? And we leave God at the door, and then we come in Sunday morning, we dragging, man. We just like, how was your week? I'm glad I'm here at church. Praise Jesus. See, corporate worship, yes, it is a time that we get to come together and just get filled up. But it's also a time, man, where we gather together and strengthen the body of Christ. And if we don't understand our identity in our relationship with Heavenly Father, we can't help strengthen the body of Christ. Your value to God is not based on your performance. You aren't even created to be defined by a role. Can you get that? You're not even created to be defined by a role, ladies. He just loves you and he values you because you are you, his daughter, his princess. Your father wants you to know that you are his perfect princess. He created you. And that's the relationship that he wants with you. Let me tell you something, church. Christianity is a relationship in every spectrum. Whether it's the warrior, it's relationship with the king. Or whether it's a daughter, a princess, it's about relationship. Everything about our walk as believers is about relationship. The thing is, man, we turn it on and turn it off like it's just something we do on Sundays. The greatest force that you have, husband, wife, man, woman, is this. You're going to impact your children in the way you view the Father. The way you view the Father. John 1, 12 through 13 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, say the right, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're here this morning not because of your own will, not because of your own desire, not because you thought, hey, I ain't got nothing else to do. But according to that word right there, you're here this morning by the will of God. The relationship you get to have with the king is not based upon anything that you did. It's based upon God's desire to have you. The Bible even says this. It even goes to say, it says, no one can come unto the Father unless the Spirit of the Lord draweth that person. So even at the beginning, in the onset of your life, relationship started not by you. It was started by your Father in heaven, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's where the relationship started. Galatians 3:26, I'm going to wrap it up with this. You are all God's children by believing in Jesus Christ. You come in to be a part of this family by believing in Christ. But belief, I said this earlier, if I tell you I follow a king, do I resemble the king that I follow? Some of you are struggling this morning, and you're struggling in your marriage, you're struggling in relationships, period. Whether that be a relationship at work, maybe that's a relationship at school, maybe it's a relationship, whatever, but there's some of you that are struggling this morning with relationship because you're trying to play a role that you're not designed and meant to play. You are. At Epic Life, we're a little different. I kind of call it out. I call it like I see it. All right? And if Daddy begins to speak to me, and Holy Spirit begins to say something, I'm going to say it. Y'all okay with that?
Yes.
All right? I don't like sugarcoating stuff, right? And some of y'all can't understand why you're having struggles in your marriage. Well, let me rephrase that. You know why you're having struggles in your marriage, because you're not living out the roles that God created you to live. For some of you guys, you're designed to be the warrior that God has called you to be, yet you won't submit to the king in which you serve. See, knights used to do that back in the day. When a knight would turn against the king, they would send him out of the country. He was no longer to be a part of that country. Sometimes they would kill him because he was once a knight. He was honorable. He did the right thing. He fought for the king. But once he turned against the king, he now became an enemy. See, God has called you men to raise up your swords and fight for your family, to fight for a just cause, to fight for your everything, your children, everything. Fight. And ladies, you think, man, you just, oh, I'm just going to be this person. I'm always going to be this way. And I was created to do this and do laundry, and that's all I am. And God's saying, no, you're called to be a warrior.
Amen.
Your role's a little bit different. But you need to take it on. Some of you have given up. You've quit. You've quit in your marriage. Maybe you've even quit at work. You've quit on your kids. And that goes both ways. I've seen a lot of mamas give up. Give up the role that God created them to live. Listen to me. For just a second, turn off the watch in your head for a second. Stop thinking about Arby's and getting in line for the supper or for lunch or whatever and the special that's going on. Listen to me. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about broken relationships. We're talking about people, man, that are living together but hate each other. They can't talk to one another without a fight breaking out. Am I talking to you right now? Because you won't step into the role. Ladies, for you, it's just realizing that your husband, listen to me, ladies, your husband can't give you everything. They're not designed that way. You've got to go to the king. You've got to go to the father and go to him and let him fill you up. Let your identity come from him, not from the ring on your finger. Ladies, young ladies that are getting ready to date, you need to understand that. Your identity doesn't come in marriage. You should be bringing in what God created you to be next to someone else. I cannot live, I could not imagine my life in ministry or anything else without Robin. She is the perfect balance to my life. And let me tell you something, guys and gals, for those of you who don't know me, that woman, man, will tear you up. She's a bad girl. She's probably like one of them one, be like, you don't want to mind, huh? Give me that hammer, spike, pow. She's tough. But I need that in my life. And she needs me. I'm the free spirit. I'm like, lighten up, have fun. But don't you jack with her. I promise I ain't afraid to go back to prison. True story. Some of you men, step in place. Be the men that God called you to be. Live the life God called you to be. Be the husband, the warrior that God called you to be. Ladies, step into your role. Understand your identity does not come from your marriage, but it's in the King of Kings that loves you. That's who your identity is in. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this morning. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each and every person here. Lord, the marriages that are represented, singles, Lord, everything. But Lord, I want to pray for some marriages this morning before we can really understand the love story that God has for you, church, and this message that we're going to go into. Oh, we're going to go through the Song of Solomon here next week. I want to talk about the art of attraction. We think our attraction is about our looks. God has something else to say about that. But to enter into that relationship that God has for you, each of you have a defined role. And I believe this morning, as the Holy Spirit's moving upon this place, listen to me. Be still across this building. Some of you, this is the first time you've ever experienced this. I want you just to relax for a moment, okay? Don't worry, we're not going to do anything weird and handle snakes or anything like that's going to happen, all right? I promise you. But some people here right now, Holy Spirit's ministering to you. He's speaking to you. For you men, maybe God's saying, man, you ready to surrender your sword to me? And you ladies, oh, I just got this awesome picture, Robin. God is putting a mirror in front of someone right now. And you're looking into the mirror, and all this time in this mirror, you thought it was your reflection that you see, and God says, I want you to see my reflection. My reflection. You're my daughter. You're beautiful just the way you are, just the way I created you to be. Husbands, your standard of beauty is standing next to you. My standard of beauty is Robin. You single men, or you guys that are dating that think this girl that you're standing beside her, she's going to keep that beach body all her life, praise God. I got some ladies here to come talk to you. Your standard of beauty changes as your wife changes. She is your standard of beauty. Daughters of a king, warriors of the king. It's time we air out some baggage. If you didn't know this, I'm going to tell you as we're praying, as we're fixing to do something really cool, we have an amazing cleaning crew at our church. They clean once a week. And so we like to leave just whatever garbage is in your life, we like to leave it right up here because we have some really powerful vacuum cleaners and they will suck that garbage right up. And so I don't want you to leave today without an opportunity, man, first of all, to receive prayer. It might be for your marriage. I might have been stepping on your feet. Maybe daughters, you're putting an expectation upon your husband to do something that he wasn't designed to do. Men, maybe you sat back in the corner and let your family take a beating by the enemy, by the devil. Spirit of God is saying, man, you need to rise up and start fighting for your family. Start leading your family as a priest and as a warrior. We can't enjoy the love story until you understand your role. Ready to play into your role? Ready to step into the role that God created you to? If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, I want you to step out of your chair. I want you to come up front. Marriage is single. I don't care who you are. Get your butt up here and let's pray. Let's leave the garbage on the front. Let's leave it right here. Come on. I know Daddy's talking to you. If you need prayer over your marriage, I want you to step out of your chair and come up to the front. Let me be specific. Get up here. Let's pray over these marriages. Let's bring healing into these marriages. Come on. All right, men, come on. That's what I'm talking about. Lead your families. Get up here, men. You're not the only ones, guys. Hallelujah. And you step out in faith, you're saying, you know what? I'm tired of this. I want that. I want the marriage that God created me to have. And that means, guys, for some of us, it means kicking this flesh in the butt and taking on and walking in the Spirit. I read something very interesting. This applies to all of us this weekend, that when we got saved, the Holy Spirit came into our lives and we became spiritual. Our spiritual beings became alive in us. Before that, our flesh kind of made the decisions and it made the choices that we wanted to make. We kind of did our own thing. But when we get saved, it's now the Spirit man is there. Now you got two voices. We get to decide who we listen to and who we're going to obey. You get to decide, married couple, husband and wife, whether to obey the flesh or to obey the Spirit. You get to decide. Now, if you got someone up here that's a guest, or you have someone up here that's your friend, and you want to pray with them, I want you to step out of your seat and come up here and pray for them. Come on up here. I want you to get right behind them and pray for them. Lay hands on them. Let's pray. Let's pray. Some of these people need some big time prayer. We need to get some breakthroughs here. Praise God. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're making a declaration today. And this is the declaration that we're going to make. Leave the trash right here. Ladies, let me speak to you for a moment. Take that file cabinet of he did this and he did that and throw it right here on the floor. You don't need it anymore. Take the expectation and the things that you think he has to give you that only God can give you and throw that on the floor. Men, listen to me this morning, men. Your expectation of beauty of what you think the internet says and what the media says and what Hollywood says and all that garbage, you leave that right here. That perfect wife, they ain't none. They flesh. There is none. Let us know who they are and we'll have a class. We'll have a seminar or something, man. Bring them in and have them teach us how to. There is no such thing. Your standard of beauty is standing beside you. That is your standard of beauty. If you want to know what a beautiful woman looks like, look at the ring on your hand. Divorce is not an option. It's Satan that comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says that God came to give life and life in abundance. And I want to breathe life into your marriage this morning.